Welcome to the UNT BSM Audio Resources. If you want more information on the BSM, you can go to untbsm.com. Thanks for listening.
So, tonight, in maybe like 10 minutes, I'm not really sure, I'm gonna draw a diagram. Maybe a doodle. You can call it whatever you want. So that's why this is here. So when we get to it, we'll get to it. But so tonight, we are going to be in the Gospel of John, and we've been going through this all semester. So for those of you, maybe you haven't been here at all. Maybe this is your first time at a Thursday night at the BSM, or maybe you missed last week, or you came here the first week, or maybe you've been here every week and you've just been asleep. This semester, we've been going through the Gospel of John with one purpose, okay? We've been going through the Gospel of John so that we, as people in the world today, in 2018, can do something with Jesus. That Jesus is a man who lived 2,000 years ago, and people today are still talking about him. The church talks about him. Muslims talk about him. Atheists talk about him. We as people today in 2018 have to do something with him, because the rest of the world is making claims about this Jesus. He was that influential. He's that big of a deal. There's a reason why we are talking about him tonight. And so tonight in this semester, we've been going through the Gospel of John, which makes a lot of claims about Jesus. And the Gospel of John is written in such a way to show who Jesus believed himself to be. You know, a lot of people don't want to follow Jesus, don't want to believe that Jesus was God, but the reality is Jesus made those claims about himself. So yeah, we can talk about how great a teacher Jesus was, how he did a lot of good things, how he helped a lot of people in need. But he was also making claims that he was God. And so how do we reconcile those two things? Do we just take Jesus as being a good person, but maybe he was a little crazy? Do we just believe that maybe these claims about him being God are lies? But the Gospel of John that we've been studying this semester says that this Jesus who came to do all these wonderful, miraculous things, who taught all of this great moral teachings, that he also claimed to be God. And so tonight we're diving into chapter 8 of John, and actually we're only going to read a little bit of it in this setting, and I would encourage your small groups to read it more in depth, because there's just so much to talk about here in this chapter. And really this chapter, chapter 8, you really need chapter 7 with it. And so what I'm going to do is kind of give you a background to chapter 7 and chapter 8, and then we're going to talk about chapter 8. And then I'm going to draw something on the board here, and then we're going to be done and go to small groups, okay? And I'm going to do that all in 20 minutes, okay? So when we look at and when we think about tonight's topic, which is this idea that Jesus is claiming to be the light of the world. Stephanie, we put up on the board, what is this idea of light and darkness? How do those work and interact together? Has anyone here been in complete darkness before? Okay, maybe some of you. Maybe you were playing hide-and-go-seek like 30 minutes before you came here in your dorm room. You're hiding in a closet, maybe. Maybe you've been outside, you know, in the city of Denton even here. I'm from Dallas. But even in Denton, you go outside at nighttime and you can still see, right? We still have lights going on in the streets. It's hard to get into complete darkness. In Kenya, my wife and I were just living in Kenya for 2 years, and we just recently moved back. In Kenya, we had power outages all the time. And the power went out at the worst times. I mean, every time we were cooking like this great meal, you know, whenever it was really hot and we needed that fan on, whenever we were hanging out and we had people over at our house, we're trying to make tea, the power goes off every single time. And so what did we do? Well, it eventually became so normal for the power to go out that we actually had a drawer in our house that was like the light drawer. That in the dark, in my house, I could feel around, and I knew where that drawer was, that I could pull it out, I could pull out the candles, light them, I had a couple tiny toy flashlights that I would turn on, and so that we could still see. Now, the food, there were times where we would be in the middle of cooking food and it would go bad because the power would be out for a day. And what do you do with that food? It's done, right? But at least we could see with the little light that we had. And the thing about darkness is that if you're really in true darkness, like maybe you're hiding in that closet, right? The light begins to creep in under the door, right? Or maybe you're in complete darkness, maybe out camping in the woods. One little light you can see from a long distance, right? And so tonight when we talk about Jesus being the light of the world, he makes that claim because he is saying that the world that he entered into, that where we are currently living, we are walking in complete darkness. Sorry, I don't have my earlobes are attached. So this does not stay well on my ear. So forgive me. I was born with that. So when we look at this claim that Jesus makes about being the light of the world, this isn't just some random saying that he's making. Oh, I'm the light of the world, you should follow me. When we actually look at the context for these Jewish people, when he makes this claim, I'm the light, they know exactly what he's talking about. So if we actually look at the very, very beginning of John chapter 7, I think this year it happened the end of September, so we just missed it. And this is a festival where the people of God remember all that God did for them while they were wandering around in the wilderness. Some of you who are familiar with the Old Testament, God's people, after he rescued them out of Egypt, they wandered in the wilderness, in the desert, for 40 years. And in that 40 years, God provided everything for his people. He provided living water, which in chapter 7, we're not going to read it tonight, but Jesus makes the claim that out of your heart, if you follow me, will flow rivers of living water. In the wilderness, God provided living water. He provided manna. We talked about that last week, right? That Jesus is the bread of life. But God also provided light. He provided everything they needed. And so this celebration, the Feast of the Booths, was for a week they would celebrate all that God had done for them, how he had provided through that year, through the harvest. And they would literally sleep. It's called Feast of the Booths because they would go outside and for a week sleep in little huts that they would make to remind those people of what they had been through and how God had continued to provide over and over and over. And so at this festival, actually, it's really interesting. I'll just read this to you. There was a great ceremony during this time of the year, during this week of celebration, and it was called the Illumination of the Temple, which involved the ritual lighting of four golden oil-fed lamps. These lamps, okay, listen to this. These lamps were huge menorahs, 75 feet high. What is that, like this tall? I don't have a good gauge of that. 75 feet tall, and there was four of them, okay? And they would light these in the temple at night to remind the people of the pillar of fire that had guided Israel in the wilderness during their journey. All night long, the light showed the brilliance, it is said, illuminating the entire city of Jerusalem. I can't even imagine. You know, we light Christmas trees during Christmas time. And depending, you know, when I was in Kenya, we had one, it was like this tall. It's super tiny, didn't light up anything, okay? Lit up just the corner of our house. But these are 75 foot, there was four of them that they would light, and it would literally illuminate the entire city of Jerusalem. So that you couldn't be anywhere near Jerusalem and not see it. But you could see it from outside the city. That's how bright this light showed. And so when we read in today's verse is John 8:12 is our theme key verse. And if you guys would flip there with me, I'm going to read this verse to us today. And it says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so this festival was a reminder that God had promised to send a light. That in the Old Testament, the prophets spoke that we celebrate this festival, but one day there will come a man who will be the true light, that will lead God's people into salvation, into peace, into joy, into fulfillment. that he would save the people of God, that he would save the world, that he would be a light to the nations. And this, and seeing these massive candles, this massive menorah, these massive lamps that give off a tremendous amount of light. Now imagine for yourself, you're there with your family for this festival. This was one of three festivals where if you were able and you were Jewish, you would make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem for this time of the year. That people from all over Israel would travel to Jerusalem to celebrate this festival. Just imagine you're there with your family, celebrating, dancing, eating. They just lit the candle, and here we have this man named Jesus, who the people at this point know who he is. He's done miraculous things. He's done all these wonderful signs. He's healed people. He's cast out demons. I don't know what you guys think about that, but that's the claims. And here he is standing at the temple where these lights have been lit before all these people, and he is declaring that he is this true light that they are waiting for. That this candle that they have lit, he is who that candle is to make them think of. And so when he makes this claim, they know what he's talking about, right? A lot of times when I read this, I'm like, why don't they ask him, what light are you talking about? Well, they know what light he's talking about. And so then when we see in verse 13, he says, or John writes, so the Pharisees said to him, the Pharisees being these religious leaders, they say to Jesus, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. And Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I have come from or where I am going. And so they know the claim that Jesus is making. They have read, these religious leaders know the Old Testament. They know what the prophets spoke of. They know that Jesus is claiming to be the true light who has come to save all of the people of God and to be a light to the nations. And so they're asking him, by whose authority are you saying these things? Why should we believe you? Who is here bearing witness about you? You keep saying all these things, but who else is walking with you who's declaring these things about you? And he says to them, well, God. God is declaring these things about me. The Father is saying these things. The Father is a witness to who I am. And so they're really asking, give us proof, right? He's done the signs, he's done the healings, he's cast out demons, and that's not good enough. He's made all these declarations about who he is, and that's not good enough. So they begin to challenge him and who he is. And so if we keep reading through this, he continues to argue with these guys and to say that, I don't need to prove who I am to you. You won't believe me. And he keeps going on through this scripture, through verse 21. He says to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. So here he's already prophesying and saying, there will come a day where I will no longer be here with you, and you will try to find me, and you will not find me. And you will die in your sin. You will die in the darkness that you're living in. And so, of course, this continued to confuse them. And in verse 23, he said to them, you are from below and I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. In verse 24, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So if we skip down to verse 28, so Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. And that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And verse 30 here is key. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. And so that's the passage for tonight. That's the passage that you'll read in your small groups. about Jesus' claim for who he is, that he is the true light. But if you continue to read this chapter, Jesus' conversation with these men continue, where he begins to say to them, I am from the Father, and you do not know the Father. There's no way for you to know him except through me. Your father, and he makes this claim, your father is the devil. That you are walking in darkness, that you do not follow God, but you follow the ruler of this current world we live in, the devil. That your ways are wicked, that the things you desire are not of God, and that everything you're chasing will not lead you to life. And so I wanted to draw this out for us, okay? Let's see if this works. Okay, that's a good one. All right. And so this chapter and this section is about Jesus claiming, making claims about who he is, that he's from the Father has sent him, that he's entered into this world. What does that mean for us? And so in Kenya, we did a lot of evangelism. And I don't know if everyone here is a believer or not. And so what I'm going to do is share what we just read about and kind of the overall story of the Bible quickly. All right? I would normally not do it this fast. But I want to draw this out for you guys so that you guys can see it and maybe begin to put in context when Jesus talks about he is the light of the world. What does this mean? He's been sent by the Father into this world that we are living in darkness. And so the reality of the world we live in, I don't know if you guys believe in like the spiritual world or not. I don't know where you're at with that. But the reality is that in the beginning, God created everything we see, right? And in this kingdom, it was the kingdom of light. And the ruler of this kingdom is God himself, who created everything we see. And some of the things that we could describe this kingdom is the kingdom of light, we would hope would be a kingdom of love, right? Of joy. Probably freedom. Probably peace. And the list could go on and on of how maybe we would describe this ideal kingdom of God, right? Perfection, holiness. But the reality is that this is not the world we live in, is it? That the world we live in today is not full of love and peace and hope. As much as we want it to, the world we live in is full of hate, disease, destruction, corruption. That we as people desire this, but this is not the world we live in. The world we live in is not here, but is really here. Now, this world we live in, which is a physical world, but also a spiritual world, the ruler of this kingdom of darkness, that's a K, sorry, is Satan. That later on in this passage, when Jesus makes claims, you are of your father the devil. This is what Jesus is saying. That you claim to do good things, you claim to do all of this in the name of God, but you really don't know God at all. You're pursuing things that seem good to this world, but it will not lead to peace, it will not lead to joy, satisfaction, freedom. And that we as people have all been born into this kingdom. Whether you want to believe it or not. That we will all die one day. Many of us have seen family members die, pass away, death, disease. That the world we live in is not perfect. The world we live in is very imperfect, very broken. And we could describe this one as well, right? Maybe this is a kingdom of fear. Right? Slavery. The list goes on and on and on. Hatred. Darkness. But the story of the Bible doesn't end there, right? Because that'd be a sad story. That this story that we read tonight in chapter 8 talks about a man who came from the kingdom of light, left that kingdom and came into the kingdom of darkness. That he left and came here as the light of the world. that while we were living in darkness, the light has come. And that this light is leading people back into the kingdom of light. That all who would believe and follow him could be in the kingdom one day. Could be one day. You could have joy, peace, salvation. And we even read here tonight, and we read it in verse 28, Jesus again proclaims, just like in chapter 3 we read a couple weeks ago, he says, So Jesus said to them in verse 28, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father has taught me. That this Jesus is claiming he has come from the kingdom of light, been sent by the Father, has come into the kingdom of darkness, will be lifted up one day, and will lead his people back to salvation. So that it's only through Jesus that we can be with him. There's no other way. That we can pursue all sorts of things in this life, that we can chase after all of these flashlights that won't turn on, that won't lead us out of darkness, that won't light up our world. And that it's only through this Jesus, this is the claim he's making, that you can have life today. And the reality for us today is that even those of us who claim to be Christians, who will one day be in this kingdom, we still live in this fallen world, isn't that true? Right? There's still death, disease, there's still destruction, there's still spiritual oppression, there's these things in our life that we don't understand, that we may cry out to God, why do you let this continue to happen? But we have a hope that one day he will come and restore everything. And that this salvation is offered to everyone here today. That you can have peace in your life. That nothing else in this world can satisfy, because we were created for so much more. So I wanted to end. I'm going to go over just a minute or two. But I wanted to end tonight by going back to John chapter 1. If you would like to flip there. That's just a couple pages to the left in your Bible. In John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, we read this the very first week, but I know a lot of you guys have studied really hard since then and pushed that out of your brain, so we'll read it again here. It says this, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And if we jump down to verse 9, it says this, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so there's a lot in this passage, even tonight in just in chapter 8, that we can learn about God. Right? Jesus makes the claim that he is the light of the world. That there is no other light that leads to life. That all other light will never turn on. He makes the claim that he was sent by the Father. He makes the claim that he was sent from one place to this world to save all who would believe. And Jesus even makes the claim that everything he does is pleasing to God. And there's a lot more we could talk about, but then what does it say about us as people, right? It makes the claim in this chapter that we as people are walking in darkness, that what we think is leading to life is leading to death. That as we are walking in the darkness of this world, trying to grab onto something that will save us, we will never reach it on our own. And he even makes the claim, for those who continue to live in their sin, you will die in your sin. That you will die physically and never see God. Never have joy, never have peace, never have salvation. And so for those of you maybe who aren't believers, who maybe you're just here to learn about the Bible and Jesus, that was a lot. But I would ask you, what kingdom are you building in your life? Like, what are the things that you have on the throne in your life? Maybe it's yourself. Maybe you've made yourself the king or the queen of your life. Maybe you have your boyfriend or your girlfriend sitting up on the throne. Maybe you have your grades. Maybe you have your school. Maybe you have the desire for a career that would satisfy everything, that would lead to money, that would lead to success. I would ask you, what is the kingdom that you're building in your life? And even for us as believers, as someone who claims to be a follower of Jesus, I think oftentimes we can claim to follow Jesus, but he is not the king of our life. We are trying to still turn on flashlights that will never work. That we may have Jesus, you know, we may be holding on to Jesus as the light of our life, but in our back pocket, maybe we still have that extra flashlight just in case. Right? So as we go into our groups, I want us to be thinking about these things. What does it look like to walk in the light? What does it look like to pursue God? What does it look like to chase after him? And are the things that we are pursuing that we think will lead to life enough? Are they working? So let me pray and we'll be good to go. All right? Father God, we come to you now. I hope humbled, God, and that we would desire to follow you. I pray that your word would touch us, God, that it would speak to us, that you would open our eyes to see who you really are, that we would cling to you as the one true light that has come into the world to lead all who would believe and trust in you to salvation. So God, I just pray for those of us who are struggling to believe this tonight, whether we've seen a lot of darkness in our life, or we've seen a lot of wickedness, where it's been hard to trust and believe in you, God, I just pray that you would help us to cling to you. And so Lord, just be with us now as we go into our groups, as we study your word more, and speak to us tonight. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.